So that, you know, at the beginning when we started in January, or February actually, this place on a Wednesday is absolutely packed out. Can't get in for cars. Is that right, Charlotte? Absolutely packed out. What is it that is so popular that drawn people's attention? And you'll notice that at the beginning of the new year, there's even more people coming. And more cars trying to get in. Now, what are they coming for?
Their shape.
Their shape. What is it? What's the exercise that's going on here? It's Weight Watchers. So everybody's concerned about their style, but not their lifestyle. People are only interested in how they look on the outside. Christians are meant to be looking at how they look on the inside. Am I getting into shape spiritually? I mean, what does it matter if you are a 6 foot BB, all in trim, red muscle guy, and you're going to hell? It just means that there's a lot more for the fire to burn. We should be absolutely concerned with our spiritual shape, our fitness. And I'm bored, guys, I'm bored as a pastor of getting reports coming back, you know, month in, month out, month in, month out. Oh, no, we haven't got much of a devotional life, but we think we should. Oh, for goodness sake, Ralph. Get on with it. Because you can't have, Christ can't do much through you unless you let him in. Hello? Okay, let's get on with this then. Recognizing my personality. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. God works through different people in different ways. Please say different. Different people. In different ways. And then he goes on, but it's the same God who achieves his purpose through them all. So, what does that say? It says God loves variety. We have a saying, variety is the spice of life. I mean, I don't know if there's some anemic people around here only like bland food, but I like spicy food. I thought that might register for some of you. Okay. That's not an advert and a plea for my own cause. But we talk about variety being the spice of life. I mean, why is life boring at times? Because there's no variety. But God loves variety. I mean, just look around you, particularly now, and it seems that spring is coming 2-3 weeks earlier than it should do. You know, how long have the daffodils been out now? They've been out for a good 2 weeks, and they normally come out about this time. And what you see around you is colours are beginning to appear. And when you talk about things like God's creation, and you think about colours, you know, God didn't just paint the world one colour, grey. And they're all different shapes, thank God. They're all different shapes, but God loves variety. So you see, God loves variety in his creation, he loves variety in colour, he loves it in shapes. There are different shapes of animals and birds and trees and plants, etc., etc. We see that even light is made up of a rainbow of colours. So all around us we see that God loves variety in his creation through flowers and plants, even trees. You've got different trees. How boring when you climb a mountain and you look down and the forestry commission has taken over and it's all pine trees. You know, don't you love it in the autumn when you can look at a picture of stuff and it's all different colours and different trees? Well, that's our God. And even look at the grasses around us, or go and watch some travelogue program on TV, and different countries, and you see all these different grasses. I mean, even grasses. I mean, insect world. My God. Look at the variety that's there. There's more insects on planet Earth than human beings, or any other species of living being. Look at the animals. They're not all cats or dogs. Look at the variety. Look at the birds. God didn't just make black birds. Please don't think I'm racist by saying that. But look at the variety first. And now come down to human beings. My God, look at you. And that means you, as we've been pursuing, you are unique. We remember being told every week, look at this. I mean, look at yours. Look at your hand at the moment. Look at your hand. Jose, hand. Look at your hand. And you'll see that the shape of your hand is unique. Your shape, no one else has your shape of hand. No one in the entire world. I mean, how many people inhabit this planet?
6 billion.
Yeah. 6 billion. And no one person has your shape of hand. No one has your fingerprint. You are unique. Your eye retina scan. No one has your eye retina pattern. No one has 6 billion people. Now, if I could wax lyrical, I'd go into all the things about stars and galaxies and stuff. But I'm not. So, what I'm saying is, when you think about the incredible numbers, when you think about a DNA strand, and how many millions upon millions upon millions of chances there is to have someone like you, it's something like 1 in 26 billion. Chance of someone having something with a DNA strand like you. You are unique. Even your own heart. Your heart beats in a different way from anybody else on the planet. So you think, boom, 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 boom. No, yours is actually different. There's a little variation. Every human being's heartbeat is unique. Your uniqueness is a scientific fact of life. And God made you that way. So God loves variety. And if He loves variety, He loves different temperaments. Please don't misunderstand. Your character is not your temperament. Your temperament is the personality that you are, which will never change. Your character is the thing that needs maturing. Your value system, your behaviour pattern, that's what needs changing. But your personality, God gave it to you. So God created each one of us with a unique combination of personal traits. Some of you are introverts. Some of you are extroverts. You were made that way. So we need to recognize our personality, because it's a gift from God. He made people who love routine. He made people who love variety. He made people, some people to be thinkers. He made some people to be feelers. You just got to listen to their language. What do you think of this? Well, I feel this. You ask, what do you think of this? And they said, I feel this, I feel that. They're feelers. They're feely people. Alright? That's the person they are. And other people said, you know, when you see this woman, what do you think? I think. I think about anything. It's not I feel. Some people only talk at that level of thinking rather than feeling. So that's the different personalities that you are. Some people love routine, some people like variety. Some people think us, some people feel us. That means God made some people who work, He made people to work best with their given assignment through their personality. Some people were made to work better in teams. Some people don't work in teams. Now that could be a character issue, but it could be down to personality. So God works through different people in different ways. If you look at the 12 apostles that Jesus chose, I mean, what a flipping ratbag that was. I mean, you look at these guys, you've got Peter, big, bravado, in your face, at you, speaks before he thinks, puts his foot in it, whatever. There's that guy. You then got James and John, you know, because people didn't turn up at 10 o'clock at Petra on Sunday morning, you call down fire from heaven, burning tonight. You've got Matthew, who's a collaborator with the Romans. And you've got Simon the Zealot, whose zealot means kill anybody, who's a collaborator with the Romans. And yet here's these two different personality types in the 12. And it's no wonder sometimes there was a bit of personality conflict. But it's all embraced. What does that mean? What does it mean if you're an introvert? What does it mean if you're an extrovert? It means this: that's who you are. And that means there is no right and there's no wrong temperament. God wants to use them all. Now the fact is, if you're looking for how can I serve Jesus Christ, He wants you to serve by knowing what your temperament is. And embrace it, instead of denying it and saying, I wish I was someone else. But why be someone else when you're not? Because you're now trying to be a square peg in a round hole. And the thing about a carpenter is he works with the grain of the wood. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So God wants to work with your grain. And God doesn't measure people the way that most of us do. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, style. But the Lord looks at the heart, lifestyle. And so when God looks at you, He's not looking at how you appear on the outside. He looks at who you are inside. The world places value on externals. And our generation and our culture is going further and further down this line, simply living from the outside, from externals, like prestige, position, and wealth. But God places the highest value on less visible aspects of our lives, our personality. I was reflecting this morning about, I wonder how many employers look at a person's personality and say, how do I fit, how can I try to fit this person with their personality in the right area? Instead of just saying, you're a number, come in, do this job despite what you like. Your personality is God's gift to you. He created it and He gave it to you to use for His glory. Your personality takes center stage in everything you do and say. Have you ever thought about that? Your personality takes center stage in everything you do or say. Whenever you do something, you're doing it as an expression of your personality. That means your personality affects two things. Your personality affects how you relate to other people. And your personality affects how you respond to opportunities that come to you to serve. So you've got a number of people around you. How do you relate to them? You relate to them according to your personality. Opportunities to serve are placed under your nose. How do you respond to those opportunities? Well, that is affected by your personality. And your purpose on earth is all about people. Let's stop there for a moment. Have you realized this yet? That your purpose from God is all about other people. I mean, what is Mothering Sunday about? Actually, I won't ask that question because people get that wrong. What is the American Mother's Day about? Because it's not Mothering Sunday. It's a focus on mothers. Now, what is that about? We're looking at one aspect of expression of life. A mother is a person who is affecting other people's lives. Their children. Well, in other ways, we are affecting other people all the time. You are affecting Petra at this moment by the way that you contribute to it or don't contribute to it. You're affecting the people that are in your circle of friends. And God put you on earth to do that, to affect other people who are also affecting you. And that's why it's important to discover, how do you relate to people around you? Because if you're working with your personality, you're going to be positive and creative. And because you'll encounter many opportunities to serve other people, understanding how you react to various situations will help you to make the best choices. Because I'm an introvert, this is how I react to opportunities. Well, go with your personality. If you're an introvert, don't try to be an extrovert. You will fail, and you'll feel worse for it. An introvert tends to be a person who's reflective and deep thinking. Well, God wants to use those things. An extrovert doesn't tend to be a deep thinker. But I'm the light and soul of the party. Well, go with that. Are you getting this? Yes. Does this make any sense? Yes. So how do you relate to others? Are you outgoing towards others? Or are you reserved? Whichever way you are, it will affect worship on a Sunday. Whichever way you are will influence the way that you relate to others. If I'm outgoing, it will relate to them. I will express it that. If I'm reserved, it may be that I'm a shy person, I'm not so easy to get through, but I could be the person that once I make a friend, you're a friend for life. Is there some virtue about being not so outgoing? I mean, we see virtue about being outgoing, but are there virtues about not being so outgoing? Because if there are, then recognize it. And don't deny it in yourself, if that's who you are. Work with it. Are you expressive? Or are you restrained? Are you cooperative? Or are you competitive? God can use both. How do you respond when opportunities come to serve? Are you a high-risk person? I'm in there. Give me a chance. Door open. Rush in. Jump in. Grab it. I'm an opportunist. I'm a gambler. I take high risks. Look at the type of pension scheme I have or savings scheme. I'm into high risk. Football priests are smarter than men, particularly. Or am I a low risk person? That I'm more cautious and I'm timid. Well, both are needed, and you see that within the 12. Are you people driven? You know, give you an opportunity, you'll always gravitate towards people. You're a people gatherer, you'll sit next to people. If you were like my mum, she took the hind leg off a donkey. If you stood in a queue, she talked to everybody. You know? Which sometimes is attractive for some people and other people, here she comes. Or are you project driven, that you know you don't actually see people as people, you see them as things to be used. Now, in some ways there's virtue in that as well, because you can be all people person, you know how to have conversation upon conversation, but nothing gets done. Whereas a project-driven person sees goals and says, we need to be achieving this. We need both. We need apostles as well as pastors. And when opportunities do come, do you tend to wait to be led? Are you a follower? Or do you tend to take the lead, that you're a leader? Well, God wants to use both types of people. I mean, need to be said, it's no good being a leader if there's no one following you. And a follower, I mean, you've heard all this about the blue Canadian geese, and that is the blue Canadian geese, but when they're in formation, there's a study on these blue Canadian geese when they're migrating. And they discovered with the geese that one of the things they discovered was, when you hear a flock of geese going over, do you hear them honking? as they're going over. Well, those are the geese that tend to be at the back of the V formation. And what it is that the guy at the front who's setting the pace, he's not following anyone, everybody's depending on him. He's the one at the front, and the ones at the back are honking him with encouragement. Go on, go on, it's fine, we're with you, we're with you. So you need both. Leadership doesn't perform very well without that encouragement. So are you a person who enjoys being a team player? I like taking my place, I like building team, I like being in a team. Or are you a solo worker? And God needs both. So which are you? And work with it. Do you love routine? Do you love variety? Because your personality traits will affect how you use your gifts and abilities. And your personality traits will determine where you use your gifts and abilities. So it's one thing to say, I've been able to identify what are my natural gifts and abilities that God put inside me, that he wants me to employ for his kingdom in serving. But I need to recognize my personality, because my personality will determine how I use those gifts and where I will use those gifts and abilities. I mean, for example, let's say you've got two people who may have the same gift of evangelism, but one of those people is an introvert and the other person is an extrovert. Well, they have the same gift of evangelism, but they will express that gift in a different way. The extrovert wants to get out, speak this corner, gather everybody around me, as bold as brass, doesn't see anything of any problem, always usually finds himself putting their foot in it. You know, they're up there, out there, and then realise some of the problems afterwards, but they're bold and they're courageous and they're up there. Whereas other people got the gift of evangelism but couldn't go and stand on a stepladder, speaker's corner, but are people who will meet one-on-one with different people and use their contacts. It's the same gift, but it's a different personality. And what would be wrong is to say to the person who's good at the one-on-one, you should be up there on the stepladder. I've been in a situation like that, where the leadership has demanded that. Completely wrong. God wants to work with who you are. And that's what's important, absolutely important, to discover who you are. You've only got one life. It's no good saying to the Lord when you stand before his throne, oh, well, I didn't do it. I know it's 5 or 6 weeks on it, but yeah. You won't get away with it. You'll be frying tonight. You'll be a frying pan. Okay, so work with the grain of wood, work with who God made you to be. Remember, the devil has an assignment, because he wants you to work against who you are. On the one hand, he will try to say to you, you're a square peg, you should fit into a round hole. He will try to make you do things that is not according to your personality. On the other hand, he will say to you, don't bother. It doesn't matter. Well, last week we saw from the parable of the talents, it does matter a great deal. Because the third man who was given the talent and did nothing with it, he came in for a last step. In fact, he was kicked out of the kingdom. So, on the one hand, the devil will try to force you to do things that you're not gifted for. Work with what you're gifted for. That's what God put inside you. So you need to discover, what am I gifted for? And what am I not gifted for? And work with what you're gifted for. You know, I said last week, if you can't carry a tune in your head, God isn't likely to call you to be an opera singer or be a candidate for the X Factor. Is he? He works with who you are. So find out who you are. Also find out who you're not. And on the other hand, the devil will try to say, would say to you, relax, it's okay, chill out, man. Just take life easy. You've really got one life to live, so just take it easy. Doesn't matter if you're uninvolved or uncaring. Hell is going to be populated by lazy, uninvolved people. You know, Jesus said, when he sees people, the people he says, come and share your master's happiness, will hear these words first of all. Well, what? Well, what? We're not talking about how you like your steak. Well done. Well, my daughter's been talking to me after this. Well done. And she also said, well done. That means you've been doing well. You have been active, not passive. You have been involved, not uninvolved. It is your last, your final performance appraisal. That's what you and I will go through at the throne. Our performance appraisal. It will be the last one to our life. Did you fulfill the terms of and conditions of your employment as a Christian? Or do I need to sack you? You laugh, but it's a bit more serious than being sacked. I never knew you. Get out of my sight. So the key is to determine how best to relate to others and how best you respond to opportunities to serve others. Because God's purpose on your life is people-centered. It is about serving others and using your gifts and abilities. And it's your personality traits that affect how and where you'll use your gifts and abilities. So, do what God made you to do. Hello? If you're a bird, well, flip him off now. If you're a fish, swim. If you're a human being and you've got gifts and abilities, that's what God made you to do. You give glory to him by fulfilling who you are. It says all of creation gives glory to God. But how can birds give glory to God? By doing what they were created to do. How can fish give glory to God? By doing what they were created to do. How can you give glory to God? By simply coming to sit on Sundays, you know, half awake or half asleep or fully alive, whichever way it is, singing songs to him. Is that it? I don't think so. As I said last week, if I kept saying to my wife, I love you, I love you, I love you, I mean, she would appreciate that. But if I had said, I love you, 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 and I'm getting bigger and bigger as a couch potato doing absolutely nothing for her, she would think there's something wrong. I hear the words, but where's the action? I hear you singing me love songs on a Sunday, but where is the action? Action speaks louder than words. What you do reveals what you believe. Don't tell me that you believe in marriage and you've got a number of serial partners. You don't believe in marriage. Don't tell me you believe in parenting and you never see your kids. You just leave them as latchkey kids to wander the streets. You don't believe in parenting. Your actions reveal your genuine beliefs. So my worship of God is actually doing what he made me to do with my gifts and abilities. And that is to bless the family of God. Jesus said, new commandment I give you, to love one another. Now who's the one another? Who's the one another? The church. And I'm astounded when I talk to some people and the word church never comes on their tongue. That we're meant to be doing what God made us to do, to bless his family that he died to bring into being. And you have the incredible privilege of being made a member of that church. The ark of salvation. And so God said, that is your family. That's the only family that's going to survive. Because my natural family, if they don't turn to Christ, they won't survive. My family unit won't survive. Only those that are saved. It's your spiritual family that has eternal value. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Because I'll be trying to affirm family, our natural family. But I'm just saying that a natural family doesn't have a great deal of value before God unless it's a spiritual family too. And we all belong to a worldwide spiritual family. Jesus died, he said, my passion is I will build my church. Well, either I'm cooperating with him or I'm working against him. Even he said that. You don't do it with me. There's no man's land. It's like, okay, if I'm this side of the line working with you, if I'm not that side of the line working with you, I'm just a neutral ground. There is no neutral ground. You're either with him or you're against him. So you're either blessing the family, using your gifts and abilities, or you're not. And he says, love one another. That's how we love one another, by using our gifts and abilities. And the fact is, you and I know that if you bless, you'll be blessed. The blesser becomes blessed. Because you reap what you sow. Because when you minister in ways that are consistent with the personality God gave you, when you minister in ways that are consistent with the personality God gave you, you will be fulfilled. And you will be satisfied. And you will be fruitful. So in all that we're doing in terms of serving God and serving his church, we need to be looking at the spiritual gifts that he gives us when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be looking at the heart motivations, the motivational gifting. What passions do we have for things? Well, God put those passions in you. I mean, the positive ones. What are your natural abilities that you are born with? God arranged, just like your fingerprint and your eye retina and your heartbeat, he arranged specific gifts and abilities to be put in you. And I'm talking about very practical things. So please, guys, in the live groups, don't come back to me with all this sort of gobbledygook spirituality, super spiritual stuff. And when we're talking about natural gifts, we're talking about computer skills, we're talking about music, we're talking about cooking, we're talking about the stuff that you're good at. Do you remember? Last week, what's the average number of skills, natural skills, that a person has? 500 to 700 natural skills. So don't turn to God and say, I haven't got any. You've just denied who you are. And then there's your personality, because it's from your personality that you work out things. And that's important for you and I to know who we are in our personality. And go with it.